remarks of the president, Duluth, Minnesota, 28 October, 1952.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. It was just 96 in the shade that day I was here, he's talking about. And everybody I met, and I met a lot of people, said that didn't happen. It was just an accident, and maybe it was because I was here and stirring things up like I'm trying to do tonight. I appreciate very much this wonderful reception. It's wonderful. You know, of course, if you haven't heard, I'll let you in on a secret. I'm not running for office this time. But I've been delighted the way people all over the country have turned out to listen to what I have to say on this campaign trip for the Democratic ticket. You have a good Democratic slate here in Minnesota. For the Senate, Bill Carlson, whom you should send to the Senate to work with Senator Humphrey in the interest of all the people. He'd make you a good senator. For Congress, John Blatnick. We call him Mr. St. Lawrence Seaway himself. John Blatnick has never let up in his fight for the St. Lawrence Project. He has really understood what it would mean for this area and for the whole country to have ocean-going travel between Duluth and European ports. So you just be sure to keep him in the Congress where he can continue the fight for this great project. For Governor, Orville Freeman. He's a fine young man. He will restore proper law enforcement in your state. He's the kind of a man the Democratic Party is proud to have on his ticket. This year, the Democratic Party offers the country two national candidates of outstanding ability, Adlai Stevenson and John Sparkman. They understand the vital issues of our day, and they are telling the people just where they stand on every one of them. Their positions on these issues have not changed one bit throughout the entire campaign, regardless of which one of the 48 states they're visiting. But that is not the way the Republican candidate for president has been conducting his campaign. In his travels across the country, he has developed a new position on about every issue, depending upon which wing of the Republican Party he is courting at the time and which local issue he is exploiting. I imagine he's getting pretty embarrassed by some of this now. So when he gets a chance, he harps back to a story he's been peddling for quite a while now. It is a story about how badly off the people are after 20 years of the New Deal and the Fair Deal. Now, I've been up and down this country from one end to the other. And at one time, the Republican candidate for president remarked that the country was a wreck. Well, it's the livest wreck I ever saw in my life, and I think everybody likes it. I've never seen a more prosperous layout in this great United States than we have now. This prosperity seems to be driving the Republicans crazy. They just go round and round and round. They're trying to stop it, but they don't know how. They can't bear to see the country so well off under the Democrats. So they're doing the best to try to explain it away. They're trying to tell you that our prosperity can't last because they say that the defense effort is the only thing holding up the economy. That's not true. Our prosperity is sound and it's healthy. Right now, we have a total national production of about $340 billion. Defense production accounts for less than a sixth of it. Now, to get this straight, if it were not for the defense effort, we would be even more prosperous than we are today. The defense effort is making us postpone and put off a lot of things we need, things that would make our country greater and stronger. Take the situation right here in Duluth. Your harbor handled more than 73 million tons of cargo in 1951, second only to waterborne commerce in New York Harbor. Just this year, Congress passed a law authorizing the deepening of the channel, and when this is completed, you will be able to handle even greater tonnage. When the St. Lawrence Seaway is completed, as it will be someday, your transportation industry will boom to even greater heights than you know now. And when the full use of the taconite ore are developed, the whole new industry will be brought to this area. In all these ways, the future holds out promise of even greater prosperity. And as soon as we can ease off on the defense, more attention can be devoted to all these problems. There need be no depression in this country if you keep the kind of government in Washington that understands these things and will help to get new production going in the right places at the right time. That's one thing the Democratic Party knows how to do, and we've proved it. For the first time in history, we have kept the country out of expression after a big war. That was in 1945 and 1946. In 1949, when things started to slide back, we took quick and immediate action, and by the spring of 1950, we were back in boom times again. That was before Korea started. The defense buildup had nothing whatever to do with it. Now the Republican candidate for president is making all sorts of promises in the world about assuring prosperity under Republican leadership. But he is in no position to make good on those promises any more than he can make good on the other easy promises he's pulling out of his hat these last days before the election. And that goes for his grandstanding on Korea, just like everything else. The general has lived the specialized life of a soldier. He's been a fine military man. But the Army is all he has ever known in his whole life. Now he's surrounded by the Republican old guard. They're very men who have opposed every progressive program that the New Deal and the Fair Deal have put out and that has led this country to prosperity and world leadership. Well, those old mossbacks have taken the general into camp completely, and they don't let him find out a thing about what's going on. A combination like this not only could bring on the worst depression we've ever known, it could well result in the loss of every gain we have made in the past 7 years in the struggle for world peace. I'm going to make a speech tonight at Hibbing and telling you just why the Republican Party cannot be trusted to keep this country prosperous and secure. I hope you will all listen to that speech over the radio. But remember this, you can't afford to take a chance on turning your country over to a confused general who's just a babe in the woods and Senator Taft controls the woods. You cannot trust your prosperity combination like that. You most surely cannot trust them with the peace of the world. Think things over carefully. Think of your own interests and the country's interests. Think of the welfare of the greatest nation the sun has ever shone on. We have the greatest and the most powerful nation in the history of the world. The office of the presidency is the greatest and the most powerful office that ever existed. And you must be very careful that you put a man in that office that you can trust, a man who understands what goes on in the world as well as what goes on in this country. If you do that, you go to the polls and vote for the party that has always worked for all the people and has faced up to the responsibilities of leadership in the fight for peace. If you do little thinking, that's all I'm trying to get you to do. I'm trying to wake you up and get you to study the record. I want you to study the record of the Republicans in Congress and the Democrats in Congress. And then I want you to think about the welfare of the greatest nation in the history. I want you to think about your own welfare. And if you do that, you will elect Adlai Stevenson, President of the United States, on the 4th day of November, and we'll have 4 more years of good government. Thank you very much.